Good morning. It's good to see all of you here. Appreciate very much your presence. It's a busy week for us. We've got a lot going on, and I want to take just a minute and thank everybody that has worked so hard on VBS already. There have been people up here all week long working. We've got so many talented men and women who do our props and decorate the hallway and the classrooms and everything to make this such a good experience for our children. I just want to say thank you, and I hope that you all come back tonight and, every night this week as we have VBS and participate in that. And if you know of others, maybe some neighbors or friends or family members, invite them. It can make a lasting impact on their life. Before we begin the lesson, I do want to tell this on myself because I got a good chuckle out of it, and I figure you will too. But I got up early this morning and just came on into the office. It was about 5 o'clock, and I decided I needed to empty my trash can, and so it was still pitch dark outside, and I took my trash can and I walked through the old auditorium, which that has been decorated with all this VBS stuff, and it was dark. It's creepy here at nighttime. It's scary. And I'm kind of mindful, kind of looking over my shoulder and so forth. Well, I passed a tent that had been set up, and I found myself face-to-face with a guy who had a beard and was wearing a bathrobe, it looked like. It was a life-size Abraham that somebody made. Scared the daylights out of me. I didn't know I knew karate, but I do. And I'm thankful that it wasn't on video, that we didn't have video down there, because that could have gone viral, I believe. Sometimes I wonder if these kind of things ever happen to James Meadows. They happen to me all the time. But I do know that one time James and I were, it was about 5 o'clock in the morning, and James and I rounded a corner and just bumped into each other, scared each other half to death. He's lucky he got the first punch off. That's all I'm going to say. that happened this morning. I want to continue a series that we began last week. And last week we talked about how the God listens. We serve a Father who listens to us. And why we should pray and how we should pray and the good that prayer does. We often start with God as just a presupposition. You know, we don't need to talk about God. We all know what God is and who He is and what He does and everything. We just need to talk about what God tells us to do. And that's sometimes where we start. But I think sometimes it's good for us just to back up and say, let's not talk about what He tells us to do. Let's just talk about Him for a little bit. Let's learn more about Him. And when we do, we see that God is a God who listens. And this morning, we want to address this. He's a God who leads. Have you ever had dreams? I know when I was in college, I had a class that was entitled Abnormal Psychology. And we studied, or one of the things that we did is we analyzed dreams in this class. And there are some classic dreams that people in various walks of life will have. If you're a student and you've been to college or so forth, you've probably had the dream at some point or another in your life where you are dreaming that I had a class and I forgot to go to it. I've gone all semester and I have failed to go to this class. And you're in a state of panic because you just completely forgot about a class that you were supposed to be taking. Well, there are those kind of things that wake you up in a panic. And one of those things that happens maybe to preachers are, we have our own set of worrisome things. And one is leading a funeral procession. I don't know if you're aware of how some of this takes place. And it has to have a lot of people cooperating in just the right ways or it doesn't work so well. The preacher's car is the one, at least, most of the time, leads the procession to the cemetery. If you don't know where that cemetery is, then you're probably relying on, the police car will go first. But if you cross county lines, the police car will stop, and then there will be another policeman there, a sheriff that will pick you up at the next county. And when you pass a couple county lines, you know, you may or may not, somebody might get a call that's more urgent than leading a funeral procession to a cemetery. And so you just kind of left. And I remember on one occasion I was going to a funeral and I was leading this procession and I didn't know where I was going. I was hoping the policeman would be there, and we got to this certain county and there was no policeman. And I thought, how in the world? I have no idea where I'm going. I was leading this procession. There were probably about 30 cars behind, and I have no idea. And I'm driving along and I look in my rearview mirror and I see everybody turning behind me. And I was still just booking on down the wrong direction. And I had to turn around and go back, and I caught up with them and finally made it. But it's a scary thing to lead. Sometimes our efforts, our best efforts at leading, don't fare very well. But we serve a God who leads us. And His lead is a lead that you can always trust. He will never mislead you. He'll never get lost. He'll never send you down the wrong road where you have to turn around and come back. His direction is right all the time. And we would do ourselves a favor, a world of good, if we would just simply follow His lead. This morning, I want us to talk about the leadership of our Father and some lessons, a few observations that we can learn about that. And let's begin with this. Psalm 109 or 119 verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." See, God illuminates the way for us. We've walked in darkness before, and that can be dangerous and hazardous, but the Word of God, because of God's goodness, He has given us direction, and figuratively, He has lit a lamp and brightens our path so that we can know where we're walking. We had a friend who was a member of the church in Kentucky, and he was also a park ranger at Mammoth Cave National Park, which was right there. And so he would take us sometimes on lantern tours after hours. We would go in the cave, and he would give us a lantern, and we would go down in this deep, dark cave. And if you've ever been in there, you know just what I'm talking about. This place, you wouldn't want your lantern to go out, because without it, you would be absolutely lost. No hope of ever finding your way out. And that's the picture that God gives us. I give you a lamp that can lead your path so that you can see where you're walking and arrive safely at your destination. But here's some things I want to say about the leadership of God. Number one, when we talk about the leadership of God, boy, in the Old Testament, was it not ever evident? I mean, God in the daytime had this pillar of cloud that rose up to the heavens. And then at nighttime, He had this pillar of fire. And wherever it went, the Israelites would follow. Now, that's leadership. How could you get that wrong? Well, they did. Even as visible as His leadership was at that time, they still failed to follow Him. How do you do that? You know, we can look back and point our finger at them and say, what in the world were they thinking? But listen, before you get too hard on the nation of Israel and you criticize them, because I know it'd be really easy to say, you know, with that kind of obvious leadership that can be so clearly seen, how do you not do it? How do you not go where He leads? But you know what? Those Israelites could probably, from the grave, point their finger at us and wonder the same thing. How in the world can you all, who each one of you possess a holy Bible, and many of them, how can you not follow the lead of God? Oh yeah, we had a pillar of fire and a cloud, and we made our mistakes along the way, but you had the Word of God, all of it. You have both old and new covenants. You see everything that God ever wanted revealed about Himself. It's recorded in that book. And you often go in a different direction than the way He leads. So my point is this. Yes, God has led in the past in a very visible way. But listen, he still leads in a very visible way. There's no excuse for not following. The Bible tells us what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, or 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. He said, you know, well, before we get to that one, let me just go back to 1 Peter chapter 1 and you get to verse 10 and 11. And there's that passage that talks about those prophets of old and the angels even of old. It says that they desired to look into the things that God had in store. You know, they knew the dilemma of mankind, that we have sinned and God is holy and we're unholy, but yet God's going to save us. How's he going to do that? How's he going to pull this off? And they desired to look into it and to know. And it's almost like, you know, have you ever held something up above the sight of a child and you're looking at it and they're on their tiptoes just trying to peek up over and pull down with their fingers just so they can see over. That's the imagery that Peter says. They desired to look into, but they couldn't do it. It was just out of their sight. And they wanted to know. But here's the thing. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 says, all those things have been revealed to us. Man, we have the prophetic word made more sure. You see, we see the end. They were prophesying about things that they didn't know how they were going to be fulfilled. What does this mean? But now we're looking from the backside and we're saying, oh yeah, he said this would happen and it did. And he said this will happen and it did. We have all those prophecies that they just had the front end with no fulfillment. We have the prophecy as well as the fulfillment. So when somebody says, I don't see how Israel could have not followed God. I mean, he made himself so visible. I think Israel would have a good case against us saying, how in the world can you guys not follow God? You have the prophetic word made more sure. And it's as visible as that cloud ever was. I mean, they sat on your end table and on your bedside and then your work desk and all over the house. How do you miss God? Well, it's a good thought. Here's something else that I want us to realize about the leadership of God, and it's this. It doesn't mean our comfort. I know there's a tendency in us to want to say, well, if God is for us, then life ought to be easy. If he loves us, he shouldn't let me struggle. But every one of us who is a parent, we all had children when they were little. And they didn't know yet how to walk. And we'd take a hold of their hands and we would walk along with them. But you know what? There comes a time when they don't pull away, we let go. And we know what's going to happen. They're going to fall. And they do. And they fall and they cry and you pick them up and comfort them and you stand them up again and you try to walk and you let go. What do you do when you try to teach a child how to ride a bike? You run along with them a little while and then you let go. And invariably, they're going to have that wreck where they kind of fall over in the grass and they'll cry a little bit and you get back up and you do the same thing again. You see, love has nothing to do with removing all obstacles and hardships in life. That's what we expect from God. But that's not what love is all about. I'll tell you what, the leadership of God sometimes puts us in some rather difficult positions, hard to deal with situations, but he hasn't abandoned us. And actually, it'll be good for us. I think there's a great example in Exodus chapter 14. Children of Israel are led out of Egyptian bondage, and I can see them going, shoo, 400 years of that. Man, I am so glad to be free. And off they go. And you know where God leads them? He leads them right up against the Red Sea where they can't go forward. And to the north and to the south are Egyptian strongholds. There is nowhere for them to go. And from you can see on the horizon the dust of the chariots kicking up where they're coming to get them. We're bringing them back. Do you know how scary that must have been for an Israelite? Here's a man who's just trying to live and have his family and raise his kids, and he sees, what are we going to do? They're going to come and they're going to kill me. They're going to kill my children. They're going to kill my wife. Who knows what's going to happen to us? And the fear that must have overtaken them. The Bible says they cried out to God. They also lashed out against Moses. They shouldn't have done that, but they cried out to God. But here's why God did that. It says in verse 4 of Exodus 14 that God wanted to show his glory to the nations. He wanted to demonstrate that I can put my people in a very difficult position, and then at the last moment, I can rescue them. I can pull them out of that situation, and we win, they lose. And he did. And it brought glory to him and to his people. And that still goes on today. God leads us, but it doesn't mean it gets easy for us. God led the Apostle Paul. He said, he's a chosen vessel for me. I want him, and he's going to do some great things, but man, is he ever going to suffer. And you look at what it says about him in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and all the things that he had endured and the hardships. It was all part of God's plan, his leadership and his life. Noah didn't have it easy. Can you imagine having to build that huge ark that he had to build? You know how many trees that man he had to cut down and planks that he had to plane and all that kind of, man, that is hard work. And how long did that take? It must not have been easy for Mary to have heard people say, a virgin birth? Are you kidding me? Is that the story you're going to go with? A virgin birth. You see, that must not have been easy for those who would not have believed in the testimony. And then there's our story. There are things that happen. Man, I want to serve God, and I want to follow him with good health and financial security and a perfect family. And I want to just, like, go through life that way. I don't want to have to suffer. I don't want to have to serve God with poverty. I don't want to have to follow his lead with sickness. I want health. But you know what? God may be able to better use you in poverty and sickness than he could in wealth and health. You may, in your sickness, be able to reach people that you never would have been able to reach if you were in good health. Follow God's lead. Don't give up on him. He may lead you in some difficult ways and difficult terrain, but at the end of the day, he's leading. He's God. Don't give up on him. And I'll tell you this too about his lead. It'll result in your good. He's going to take you or bring you out at a place that is advantageous to you. He's not going to drop you off in a hole and leave you there. Wherever he goes, it may be hard getting there, but it's worth the trip. When I grew up in West Virginia, and to go to my grandma and granddad's house, you just go straight down the Ohio River, and the road just followed the river right down the road. Whenever we traveled, we just say up and down the river, because that's what you did. You just traveled up and down the Ohio River. But when you got to New Martinsville, West Virginia, where one set of grandparents lived, then you had to get away from the river and go out to a place called Reeder, West Virginia, and it was out in the hills. And it wasn't very far, but it took forever to get there because you did this. I mean, the roads, you could read your license plate on some of those turns. I mean, you were just cutting back, hairpin turns. And I've often wondered, why did they do it this way? You know, why not just a straight road? Well, there are reasons for that, obviously. Do you know how many mountains you'd have to move to have a straight road? So they just worked around the mountains. That's the way it worked. But it got you to your destination. You might be car sick along the way, but you arrived. And that's what God is doing in our life. He's not going to let us, oh, this didn't come out the way I wanted it to. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, concerning the fact that he listens to us, he gives us the things that are good for us and will not give us what is not good for us. So what comes across your path, learn to embrace it. Learn to accept it. It doesn't mean that you have to learn to enjoy it. It may be hard. But surely we can say, I can use this difficult thing and bring glory to God and follow his lead and not give up on him. And then simply, and this will be the last point, we have a choice. His leadership is not one that is mandatory. It is an offer. It's a choice. He doesn't demand obedience or following, but he says, why don't you? In the very last chapter of the book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, very last book of the Bible, in Revelation 22 and verse 17, the invitation is given and it says, whosoever wills, let him come. Do you want to follow God? Do you want to go where he will lead you? If you do, it's up to you. If you desire it, follow. If you don't, you don't have to. And you may be at a point in your life where you have followed it in the past, but you've given up on it. It's gotten difficult. It's gotten tedious. It's gotten boring. I don't know what it is, but it's just not been something you've been willing to do for a while. Here's the good news about God. He'll take you back. Maybe more willing than, well, definitely more willing than we are. You know, you look go to the Old Testament book of Hosea, and God says, how can I tell you all how I feel about you? I've got it. Hosea, go marry a prostitute. And he does. And then she becomes unfaithful to him and goes back to her old way of life. And no doubt he's heartbroken, embarrassed, angry. And then God says, now I want you to go back and get her and bring her back home. A lot of guys would say, nothing doing. I don't want her now. You know, she's back to that kind of living. I took her away from all that. And she's gone back to, I don't want anything to do with her anymore. But God said, take her back. And Hosea did. And the point of that book and that lesson, that object lesson, lived in the prophet Hosea, is, do you understand now how much I love you? We're married. You're my bride, and you have been so unfaithful to me, and you have given me over to something else, and you've gone your way and lived and pursued other things other than me. But you know what? I still love you, and I'll have you back, but you have to choose to come. And this morning, I don't know where you are in your life. You may be one of those people that have always faithfully followed the lead of God, and you are in the place where you need to be right now, and we need more of you. May your tribe increase. But there may be some folks here this morning who have found the leadership of God a little bit difficult, maybe a little tedious. Maybe you've been distracted by other things and you've digressed and gone down different roads and you haven't really paid much attention to the lead of God. I want you to know that he still loves you and wants you. And if you get back on the road that he leads and the direction that he leads, you'll be blessed in the end. As promising as other avenues may look, They cannot provide. They are empty. They're vain. I think Jude said it probably as well as anybody when he described those who were false teachers and who were leading people away. He said, you know what they're like? They're like clouds that threaten rain, and they never drop a drop of rain. They're clouds without water. You see those rain clouds boiling up and you go, boy, it's going to rain. But we need rain. And they promise rain, but those clouds are clouds that just can't deliver on it. And that's the way of the world. Man, it looks good. It looks fun. It looks so much better, but it can't deliver in the end. Only God can do that. And so I call you today to know that the God that we serve is a God who listens. And he's a God who wants to lead you. And his leading will ultimately result in your good and in your salvation. If you haven't yet followed the lead of God, or if you need to get back to following his lead, then do so this morning. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Follow his lead. Do that if you have not done that. And if you're a child of God already but unfaithful, and you've been doing your own thing for a while, come back, humble yourself, and say, I've made some mistakes with my life and I want to come back. I want you to lead me once again. And he will. And he'll do it out of love. If you need to respond, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.